Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to another episode of Love Letters Live, a presentation, as many of you already know, about gratitude and love and writing it down and mailing it and sending it to somebody to make somebody else's life better. There is no point in taking gratitude to the grave. It doesn't serve anyone. Today I have a wonderful guest, Debbie Harding, who is a pastel artist I recently met in Sonoma at a gallery. And her work was lovely, and she was lovely, and I could tell she had something to say about a lot of things, and I was really right. So I just want to say also, Debbie is a wife and a mother, and with her husband owns Belden House. And Debbie, I'm going to go right to you. Do you want to start off by telling us what is Belden House?
Yeah, hi. First of all, thank you. I appreciate being here. It's a real honor.
I appreciate you coming in from such a distance.
Thank you. Belden House is a long-term residential home for brain-injured adults. And we're in Santa Rosa, and it's a 15-bed facility. But it's a place that my husband and I run with our two boys. They're primarily doing it now.
How did you come to this?
My husband especially has worked there for many years. I think it's over 20 now. Mm-hmm. And he was working there.
Oh, somebody else owned it first?
Somebody else owned it, yeah. And he was working there with a very dear friend of his who owned it. And it came to a point where they decided they needed to sell Belden, and they were having a hard time finding somebody who would buy it as a business. And so...
No, I was going to say, it's a huge responsibility.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, after all the years that we were there, and I had worked there, too, for a few years before we bought it, the people there really became in our hearts. I mean, they were part of our family. Mm-hmm. And the thought of them selling Belden House and sending everybody going in different directions just didn't set with us. So we went to... this friend, his name is Wes, and said, let us see what we can do.
So do people stay there? Do they live there forever? Or is it a place they stay while they're getting well enough to make a life on their own elsewhere?
You know, it's a little of each, but it is long term. We're not really an acute rehab center. Most of the people who come to us have already been through rehab of different sorts. And now they're looking for a place to call home. And we have a few people that have been there for over 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. That's exceptional what you're doing. And you're doing other exceptional things. Also, your
thank
art.
You.
How did you,
thank you...
Let's just talk about that for a minute. Because your art, I can see, is also full-time and consuming.
Yeah, it
is. How did you... Did you know as a child that you had this talent? Were you always headed for this?
Well, I really feel like it's just been a blessing in my life. When I was a child, I did have people telling me, you know, wow, you have a talent for art. But when I was in college, I got into other things. I got a master's degree in psychology and kind of got off onto different tracks and did art more as a hobbyist. And then after I worked at Belden as the administrator for 3.5 years, needed to take some time off. And I really, you know, my faith is important to me. And I really had been praying that God would give me something to do in my later years.
So that's an interesting thing. So how did you know what the sign was when you say you were hoping that God would give you?
Well,
how did you know what to look for?
You know,
and what to...
I think he brings people in your life. And I had a friend, a good friend who was an artist, and I kept seeing what she was doing. And I would tell her, Gwen, you know, I think I would like to do that. So one year for my birthday, they gave me a few lessons. And that got me started. And I painted about 8 or 10 oil paintings. And then, it, of course, got sidetracked again. We bought Belden House, and my mother moved in with us. So I'm caring for my elderly mother also, but
just an angel.
It's delightful to have a lot of things like that to do.
Yes, but
you know, when I took a break from Belden, my husband started working full time there with our two sons, Micah and Jordan, and I started pursuing art as a career.
Because the other was in good hands.
Yeah, I felt that way. I was really able to move away from it, and it was great to just start pursuing something that felt like It had always been a part of me.
Is there a website for Belden Place?
Yeah, it's Belden
and
House.
Just in case people would like to take a look.
That would be great. It's beldenhouse.com, and Belden is Belden, house.com.
Okay, I'm just going to spell the whole thing because
it's such
an unforgiving medium that if people get one letter wrong, you know.
Sure.
BeldenHouse.com. And give us your art website.
Yeah,
because
thank you.
We'll talk about that more, but people, I'm sure, are going to want to see some of your work.
Thanks. Yeah, my art website is DebbieHardingArt.com, and it's DebbieHardingArt.com.
Okay, thank you. So you talked about your faith being important to you. Was that all your life, or is that something you realized as you grew up?
It has been all my life. When I was about 10 years old, I found out who Jesus was, and I gave my life to him and accepted him as my Lord.
This was how you grew up? I mean, your parents also were...
You know, my mom especially. My dad came to church with us, but we lived in Napa at the time, and went to a church that probably had 120 people attending the church, and it was a wonderful family experience in that church. And then as I grew, just all through my adult years, I have just really felt and seen his hand in my life. And even
so, it was always natural to you. It's not something that came to you as, you know, just recently or...
No, it hasn't been. It's been a real life experience, and I feel like all these years I've been able to test to see that he has truly been the love of my life, you know, and that's
I wish
really,
to see, now this is where yeah, I wish yeah. it were a television moment, just so yeah. people could see the smile
yeah, thank you.
On your
yeah.
face. Okay.
And that is just very important to me. All the decisions that we've made, the major decisions in our life from buying Belden House.
Yeah.
To even doing my art, you know,
so
I feel
you don't feel
real
you're
close
doing it alone.
I don't,
yeah.
And you know, my whole experience with art is being out in creation and being so moved by what I see and having to put it down.
You know, and I'm interested that you say that because having seen your art, it's very representational. It's very much
Thank
the beauty you,
you
see,
and
you do a lot of flowers and.
Yeah, I really am gravitated towards a flower and seeing the design in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times we walk right past the little things around us and we don't see that. So when I can take it and take a little, you know, 1-inch flower and put it on an 18x24 canvas...
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it becomes very dramatic.
Yes.
So I kind of go between that and landscapes, and I've done some figurative work too, because I'm a new artist. I really have only been doing this seriously for about 3 years, and recently did a about 6 or 8 new landscapes that were.
That's kind
just
of interesting that you put yourself
to.
In the role of, or it's natural to you, of taking what people might walk past and miss, and putting it in a way that they. Can see easily. I mean, you're making it easy for people to see.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all tend to do that. Yeah. And even I was thinking about it the other day that I'm just in that same boat also because I tend to get excited about the new things I see.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, you know, I'm forgetting that some of the things that I pass by that seem old.
Mm-hmm.
If you just stop and look at it a little more closely, are really the new things in your life.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, you said is your mother still living with you?
Oh, yeah, she is.
Uh-huh.
She's 86, and she's delightful. I find that to be one of my big blessings in life.
So nice.
She's
and your dad?
My dad passed away, that's about 18 years ago.
Oh, that is a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is a neat story. But, my mom, for 10 years after my dad was gone, lived by herself in Corona. And, you know, I kept trying to convince her that she should move in with one of us at least because I felt she was too far away. And, I had the opportunity for about 4 or 5 months 1 year to care for this other elderly lady.
In your home?
In our home, yeah. And her name was Mary. And, you know, the whole time she was with me, I kept praying, God, you know, bring somebody in my mom's life like I've been able to do for Mary. And one day my mom called me up and said, you know, I think I'm ready to move in with you. And I didn't realize that I was going to be, you know, the person that she...
That is so lovely that she felt free to call you and say, I'm ready, knowing that she would be welcome.
Oh, yeah. And that was a great adventure. We had to move into a bigger house, so we went out looking for another house to live in. And
what was that like for her, having to give up what was her life and I suppose some of her, the things that she's treasured, even possessions? I know ultimately who cares, but...
Yeah, she just is such an easy person to live with.
How nice.
And she didn't give up a lot at first. It was hard because she was down there by herself. And it was hard for me to go down there and help her sort through her things. So I said, Mom, just bring everything and we'll go through it up here.
Oh, good. Okay. Because also, you know, a person who's elderly and has to make a change like that also has to redefine herself.
Yeah.
Somehow.
I think that that's true. We were able to find a house where we could put an extra door in and section off a part downstairs so she has like her own little apartment.
Yes. Yeah. Tell me about your boys. Because I have a question about that. I know you homeschooled them at
some
point.
Yeah, we did.
And I think that's such an interesting topic.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by it.
Well, that's exciting to hear. It was a great time in our lives. We have...
How old are they now?
24 and 26. Mm-hmm. Two sons, Micah is the oldest and Jordan, and we started out sending them to public school.
What shifted?
Well, you know, they were coming home every day and we were asking them, you know, well, what did you do in school? And we were finding that they weren't spending enough time on some of the basics that they needed to learn. They were...
You mean basic secular subjects?
Well, just the basics, like spelling and math. And our older son had some vision problems, was unable to, his eyes weren't teaming. And he's just a brilliant kid, but was having a little bit of trouble with that. Wanted to have books in the house, and we just had books all over. And we finally got vision therapy for him. But in the meantime...
But how old were they at this point?
They were going into third grade and going into fifth grade. So they had already been through quite a lot of public school. And, you know, I heard about homeschooling on the radio, and I thought, wow, I could do that. And I really would like to teach my children.
What did you hear? I'm curious.
I was listening to Focus on the Family, and there was a special guest speaker that talked about homeschooling, and I just, something clicked with me.
How did you bring that up to your sons to make it appealing for them?
I think that I took them roller skating to the homeschool group.
Oh, okay.
So they could see what the other kids were doing, and they had fun, and they realized that it could be a great experience. I'm not saying that they always loved it. I mean, I think our older son missed some of the things he did at school, but one thing that he did get to do that was so wonderful is that's when we took him to vision therapy. He had some, his eyes were teeming now, and he was able to read and to see things better, and he wanted to write. So he came home, and I let him just write like crazy. I mean, he sat at the computer for hours every day writing, and he produced some of the most amazing poetry wrote a 70-page-plus novel. And he was 11 years old. And so what's really neat now is he's just finishing up his master's degree at the University of San Francisco in their English department and is a writer.
That's astoundingly wonderful.
That's the one on 19th Avenue?
Yes. So I have a question.
Yeah.
What did... You know, people talk about social isolation. I mean, people who have had no experience with it.
Yeah.
I've been amazed myself. I have had friends and acquaintances who have homeschooled their children, and I'm all smiles. I am amazed. I shouldn't say I'm amazed. I notice that nicer, more socially graceful children I have never met.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, how necessary that cacophony of school really is to a child's development.
Yeah.
And then what do you have to do to homeschool in every single subject?
Well,
those are my two questions.
Yeah. And those are good questions. And they should be answered for sure. There are all kind of opportunities for socialization. Socialization is not just hanging out with kids your own age. And that's a misconception. I mean, being socialized is learning how to hang out with people of all ages. And, for instance, our younger son, Jordan, we lived across the street from an elderly lady while we were homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And he was at her house all the time helping with her garden and doing things.
So what's the schedule? You get up in the morning and you sit down together and you have to know something about not only know about every subject, but know how to get that information across.
Yeah. There are lots of helps. The curriculums that are available out there are amazing. And it took a lot of preparation. Mm-hmm. I would spend the whole summer planning out the next year and going through the curriculum and reading through the books they were going to read.
So you did this all the way through high school.
I homeschooled our oldest son for 3 years, and then he wanted to go back to school, and we let him do that. Mm-hmm. And our younger son, Jordan, I homeschooled for 10 years, and he went back.
At what grade?
He went back towards the end, like his last year.
High school?
Yeah, his last year of high school.
I'm just wondering what that's like. You have to teach foreign languages?
If
you speak one, you're lucky, but...
Yeah, there's some foreign language curricula. You know, you're learning as the kids are learning.
Yeah.
So I was always a step ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, people want to put it in the box and say, well, you should be perfect at all these things.
It's perfect,
but you give your children the opportunity to follow their path, too, which is... really a big part of it, and they do get one-on-one attention, and if there are times when you don't know something, especially we were homeschooling through an umbrella school. It was a Santa Rosa Christian school, had an ISP program.
So you can go to somebody else for help?
And that's how a lot of the ways we got the other socialization needs out, too, is that we met with people for field trips and for sports activities and other kinds of things like that. Plus, they were involved in Boy Scouts and the youth group at church and... You know,
so there's nothing,
there was
so,
not
so
a problem.
In
with
short,
that.
There's nothing they lack, really.
I think there isn't anything that would make it less desirable than other education. And then there are a lot of positive things that they get that you can't. Well, the opportunity to just spend time with mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had, we still have an awesome relationship with them.
Well, I'm sure you do if they're working in a family business.
They are, And both of our sons are, you know, they're helping, but they also are pursuing other things, too.
Mm-hmm.
Our younger son, Jordan, has just joined the military.
Mm-hmm.
And he's training to be a medic in the Army.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited that he's doing that. And like I said, Micah is just about finished with getting a master's in English. And has a book that he's written that he's going through right now and editing. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something. Because this is Love Letters Live, we are about expressing the love and gratitude we feel, if I ask you right now who would get your love letter today, who would it be? I can think of about six of them already just listening to you.
Yeah. Well, I can, too.
I'm sure.
One of the things
have you ever written them before? Sat down and written a letter?
To my husband.
Well,
maybe.
Counts.
Yeah,
that's
yes,
lovely.
Yes,
yeah.
Definitely. But I haven't for a while, so maybe it's time. And you know, I have never written one to my mother.
Oh, I was wondering about that.
And you know, all these years that we've spent together, and it would be a lovely thing to do. And I used to journal more as a Christian, and I, you know, it just so happens that recently I came across some of the old things that I had written
about your mother,
to God and my Christian life, and I thought, wow, you know, this was important that I did this, and why did I stray away from that? Because I think journaling and getting your thoughts down, and certainly it's something to look back on. It's a marker. It's a marker about what you've been through in your walk and what you're going through.
And so much of that is the same as a love letter.
The difference is, with
a love letter, you write it down and you mail it to someone.
Right.
To let somebody else know the value. So what kind of things would you tell your mother? Because I have some thoughts about it. Well, you know, I like to define a love letter as a letter about the other guy and the other guy's attributes. And
well, I would tell her that I am delighted that I have so many wonderful memories, childhood memories. She was a lady, and she is a lady, but, you know, thinking back to my childhood, who gave so much of herself to us as children. I mean, it was important to her for us to have a great childhood.
Okay, so that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And then the real beauty of a love letter
is
to put in the specifics.
Right.
You know, what you remember.
And I do talk to her about that. That's one of the fun things that we do together, is talk about the places that we've lived together and the fun we used to have.
Doing things.
We, for instance, when we moved to Napa, it new place for us. We knew nobody, but she, it was a bonding time for us because my dad went off to work and my mom and my younger brother and I would start out from home and walk downtown and just spend the whole day walking around town and doing things.
And to make it a love letter to her and be about her, it would be what? That you allowed us to do that? You gave us that freedom?
Absolutely.
Just always focusing on her. What does she look like?
Right now?
Well, what did she look like growing up? I mean, what was her hair like? And what was beautiful physically about her? And what did she feel like? Just the touch of her.
Oh, that's a good point. That would be a really good thing.
So many good things to put in a...
Yeah, I would love to write
a letter to her. I remember when I first felt your skin, and I was, whatever it is, those kind of things.
Well, one thing, just you brought this into mind. She, I loved putting my head in her lap.
Okay.
And she would... she's Hungarian, and there was this little Hungarian rhyme where she would, you know, gently, you know, touch my forehead and then my eyes and my nose and say this Hungarian rhyme. And it was the most wonderful feeling of just floating away.
It was really great.
It was really great.
That what you just said is a whole love letter itself. And, you know, the gift is, and you'll see when you send it to her.
Yeah.
The gift will be that you remembered it in such detail.
Very nice.
So I'm wondering about something. You know, your mother's had a long life, and so have you with her. And you probably can't do everything in one love letter.
No.
What if you did a series of them? And once every, you say she's how old?
She's 86.
Okay, so what if once a month for the next 5 months... she got a love letter from you.
I would love to do that. That would be wonderful.
And then she'd have your journal, but it would be about her.
And that would be very special.
Did she cook? What was your favorite
meal? Oh, man, she did.
Oh, man, She's Hungarian, she cooked a lot.
Yeah, she did. She cooked a lot. And she, you know,
And she taught you. Excuse me, I just wanted to say something. Seems to me that one of the really beautiful things, because you talk about how giving she was.
She was, yeah.
Go look in the mirror.
Yeah.
You're doing the same. You're giving every day to somebody. I mean, you're... So she taught you that by example.
She definitely did. That's correct,
All those things.
Wonderful.
Oh, I'm so happy you're going to do this. I'm happy for her, and I'm happy for you.
I'm happy for me that I got to hear about it. Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah.
As it is not, love letters is not a one-shot deal.
No, it's not.
That I would guess that once you're aware of it, and since your journaling has kind of lagged a little bit anyway.
I want to do that again.
If you shift into this, and you know what? Your grandchildren.
Yes.
Are going to find this someday.
Yeah, that's true.
And your great-grandchildren are going to find
definitely.
This. And they're going to know something so important about their heritage. About you, about their pedigree, that they came from this kind of family that knew how to love and give and take care of others.
That's a very good point, yeah.
So what kind of stationery will you use?
Wow. I never thought of that.
Let's think about
that. I don't have much stationery anymore.
You don't have to because they have stores that have stationery anymore.
Maybe I should make some.
Do you do that? Oh, I could, yeah. But, you know, you just touched on another thing. That the envelope is the gift wrap for that present. I always say you should just festoon the thing. But as an artist, oh my goodness, you could make that envelope.
Oh, yeah.
worth framing itself. Sure. And all this is part of your legacy,
yeah,
too.
That's true. Well, and she's an amazing creative person, too. She's doesn't just sit in her room and do nothing. Her hands are always moving.
What does she do?
She lots of things through her life. Right now, she's crocheting. Mm-hmm. This is, the little phone holders. But she got into paper crafts, too, and she made origami boxes. And so she loves doing that. When you said festooning it, I mean, that's what she does. When you get a gift from her, it's not just the wrapping outside, but she's got stickers and words and she's fun. Yeah, it's a fun thing for her.
Okay, so, you know, in stationery choices, you could choose something that really represents you, so when she sees that thing, you'll be saying, here I am, or something that represents her, mm-hmm. which will be a different kind of gift. You know, I'm thinking about you from the outside all the way down to the...
That's true.
Yeah. And I have another question that I think is kind of important. Will you mail it to her?
Wow. Well, that would be a surprise, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be a nice part of the
love
letter?
Yes, it would be a
sweet surprise. Oh, hello, there's some mail for you.
That's right. And she would open up going, what is this?
Right.
Yeah. It might take her a few minutes to figure out why.
Good.
Yeah.
And you won't be in the room when she reads it.
Oh, that's true, huh?
Right?
That's true.
Well, no, you tell me what you think about that.
Well,
I think you have to leave town.
I think she would cry. You know, she'll be in tears.
But if you're with, I mean, reading a love letter is private. Love letters are private.
It is. Okay.
Even though you know what it is, reading it is a different thing.
Well, and when you have it then, too, you can reread it and reread it. And that's a nice part about it. And that's probably one of the major things that's missing from all of the electronic writing that we do.
Exactly.
Well, and like my journals. I wrote these, some of them 15 and 20 years ago, and they got stuffed into my drawer, and as I was reading them, I thought, wow, I forgot I wrote this. Who is this person?
Exactly.
And it was bringing me back to some places in my life that I hadn't been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you would do the same thing if you were, reading a love letter from somebody, too. Sure.
Yeah, someday. Yeah. All those letters will be together in her bedside table drawer. I mean, people don't, people keep those. It's a gift that lasts forever.
That's true.
Oh, I'm so glad we have this little chat,
Me
as they
too.
Say.
Thank you so much for doing this. It was a pleasure. Yeah,
and I want to encourage all our listeners to take a look at Debbie's artwork. It is just luscious and beautiful.
Thank you.
And you're at various galleries.
Right now, I am showing the majority of my work at the Red Paprika in Healdsburg.
Okay, so in the California wine country, because this goes all over the world.
That's
people
right.
choose to tune in.
And I will have a few pieces actually at Fort Ross. They're having their bicentennial celebration tonight.
Where's Fort Ross?
Fort Ross is on the coast, north of Jenner.
Beautiful up there.
Yeah, I don't know how long it would take to get there from here, but it's a wonderful historical site.
Yes.
So,
if people are in California and want to say it, but you can also go to the website.
Website is a good idea, definitely.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing
Janet.
All that you do
and all that you are.
You're just
really
a light
fun.
In this
world. Well, and by putting this together, this is an amazing thing for people. Thank you.
I think so, too. Thank you, dear. This is Janet Gallen saying goodbye for now. And please remember that if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion. Bye.